This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy with Sam Wykes and Chinidal Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Talofa lover, and welcome to the Neat and Footy Friday, your weekly second helping of all things Pacifica in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Sam Wykes, and alongside me is a man who loves a double serving, loves a second feed, and I saw that during the week. Tinira, Arona T. How are you, my friend?
Kia ora, Sammy. Double serving. I only have a double serving because the first serving is a smaller one, and you wait for everyone to eat, then you go in and have a second small one, not like your big mountain that I seen, which was two of my servings just on one plate.
Yeah, it was a free feed, and when it's free, it's for me. I wanted to dig in, but I saw you walk in with a bit of a limp. Is that from the run that we had?
Or it might have been from the meat that we had.
Gout?
Maybe. Nah, no gout. Like I told you, mate, I've got a floating bone in my ankle from the years of playing rugby league, which kicks us off into our show. The NRL kicks off for the rest of the teams. And
we will hear
from NRLW superstar Sala Tongatuki, who will cover all the NRL news, upcoming NRL news. We also have the rugby union legend Totai Kefu, who will jump on our show for all the rugby news. And let's get into some predictions going into the season.
How are we going there with some of our predictions or tipping?
I'm winning 2-1.
Yeah, early days.
But early let's days. Go see who we think will win the competition and who will get the wooden spoon in both rugby union and rugby league.
All right, strap yourselves in. Let's go.
Hi, I'm Alicia Lefofago-Celia from the Australian Women's Sevens team, and you're listening to Knees and Footy.
All right, it's time to check in on the week in footy and any big stories that have popped up. I guess the big news over the last few days in rugby league has been the public apology from Tor Samoan and Rooster Spencer Leniu.
Yeah, it has been a massive focus point the last week, and you know, it's created a lot of headlines for Spencer and Ezra and the situation that unfolded in Vegas. As you mentioned, T, you know, Spencer's come out and publicly apologised. He's taken accountability and responsibility for his actions. It's going to go through the NRL judicial process, the formal process to determine what his punishment will be.
That's held next Monday.
Monday. Okay, so yeah, there's still that to unfold, and he will go through that. Look, I've got no doubt. You know, someone like Spence, he's gonna learn from this experience. It's something that we don't want in our game at all. But I wholeheartedly believe that he's going to be a better person because of what's happened, and he will come back a better player on and off the field. And just on Ezra, you know, we ask our players all the time to be tough and show courage, you know, physically on the field every week. Like, it's a tough sport, rugby league, and for him to show that toughness and courage in a different way, it's going to create positive change. Like, I've got no doubt, like, he would have gone through a lot of emotions this week, and he would have been surrounded by, you know, his family and his friends, and the club's got behind him to be able to get through this. But it's going to create positive change, and I wholeheartedly believe that. And I think as well, when we think about what needs to happen next, well, I feel like from the NRL, the professional game, right through to our households, I feel like we need to find out what's missing around the education piece to help, you know, to help our players better understand, you know, words and what we say can have a lot of weight and a lot of power behind it. It's not just a surface level word. It can have a great impact on an individual or community situation. So I think we just need to find out how we can, you know, best educate that, you know, earlier, so when this doesn't happen again. And I believe that the game's going to be better for it. It's unfortunate. We never want to see this ever again. But, yeah, I feel like moving forward, we'll take the lessons that need to be learned and become better for it.
Yeah, you're right, Sammy. Well said. And whatever that education piece looks like, you know, we probably don't know. That's why we have professionals in that space, so we can all learn and grow from this experience. And yeah, well said, mate. On to some brighter news. We've seen the Newcastle Knights versus the Canberra Raiders last night kick off in the NRL. They're round one. And the Knights, who I thought might comfortably win in Newcastle, the Raiders actually turned up to play and they beat them 28-12.
Do you think have worrying signs? I know it's round one. Worrying signs for Newcastle with their trial form?
No,
playing at home in front of Canberra.
Well, you mentioned last week about the Vegas games and how it didn't look like round one games. You know, there wasn't many errors. There was some flow to them games where I just thought the Newcastle Knights were a bit clunky. You know, I think they're still trying to find their way. They had a rough start to the year last season and they ended up winning how many? Their last 10, 11 games,
true.
I think it was.
Very true.
So, yeah, that it'll just take them a little bit of time. I think a few key areas where I thought during this game played a big role. Now, the Knights made 15 errors to the Canberra Raiders 7. You know, when you're making that many errors, you're having to defend a lot. And I think it came back and kind of bit the Knights in the bum in the second half because 4 out of their 5 tries, the Raiders' tries, were scored in that second half. So, you know, fatigue played a big factor in that game. Also, the kicking meters. Jamal Fogarty for the Canberra Raiders, he kicked 841 meters to the Knights' 492 meters. So that's a huge, think Ooh. About those, like almost double. As a middle, you're having to turn around, get behind the ball.
And here we are saying that rugby union kick a lot. You know, and no, that's why teams are winning off the back of a good kicking game.
Or the Knights just didn't get to their fifth tackle and
made all those 15 errors.
Kick. So I thought them two stats were big. Tyson Frizzell scored a good try though for the Newcastle Knights, you know, showing his speed and power breaking tackles for a 4-pointer.
Hastings to Daniel Safidi, runs into Mariotta, tackled 20 metres out from the Canberra goal line in front of the Northern Post. Played, Cogger goes right, Gamble got it away to Frizzell. He's straight through 2 Raiders defenders and Tyson Frizzell powers over to score the first try of the year for the Knights.
But the Raiders, as I said, they turned up to play in Newcastle and they made it hard for the home team. You know, credit to their newly formed spine, the halves. When I say spine, I mean the halves, the hookers, and the Cook Island fullback, Jordan Rapana. You know, he took 26 carries, ran for 186 metres. I also thought the two new recruits, Morgan Smithies from the UK, he played for the Wigan Warriors. He played in that lock position. He played well as Zach Hosking from the Penrith Panthers, both of them two having exceptional games. I think we're going to see more UK players come over. You know, when you look at guys like the Burgess brothers, Elliot Whitehead, Dom Young and John Bateman, I think they're going to come over and sort of make their name here in the NRL as well.
Well, it feels like the NRL are going to buy.
Another interesting one, Zach Hosking coming from the Penrith Panthers. Now, the Penrith Panthers obviously can't keep all their players in their cap, and we're seeing guys like RP Coruscell, Viliami Kikau, Spencer, and also Stephen Crichton this year moving on. So it'll be interesting to see how those Penrith players perform in their different clubs and how much value they add. Now we've seen Zach Hosking killed it last night for the Canberra Raiders. So Stephen Crichton taking on the Eels this weekend will be a big one. But I also thought Tongan Albert Hopewadi for the Canberra Raiders had a huge game. He had 23 carries, a couple offloads, including a nice try assist to Jordan Rapana.
Show and go from Starling, pass back to Gula, Noah's a dummy. Plays it 5 metres out to Fogarty. They work it left, Smithies to Strange, to Hopewadi. Then back it goes to Rapana! And he dives into the northwest corner to score.
Oh, Geordie Raps. Man, he's had an unbelievable career. You know, his Mormon mission early on with the Titans, came over to the Western Force in rugby, played at Panasonic. Actually, no, he didn't play one game in rugby union, but he took all the cash from them and then came back and played rugby league. But he's an outstanding human.
Yeah, just a natural footballer as well. A great person. I got to spend some time with him in 2013 in the World Cup and and we had some fun. But yeah, that's enough for the NRL news. That's over to rugby union.
Yeah, bit of rugby union news. And just when you thought the situation couldn't get any worse for Melbourne and Rugby Australia, the Melbourne Rebels have been reported to sue Rugby Australia. They want to sue them.
Wait. The Rebels, so Melbourne Rebels Rugby Union Club,
who might not be in the competition next year,
are suing the Australian Rugby Union,
the governing body, for about $8 million.
Is this a joke?
To be honest, I wish it was, but I don't know. Oh, there's still more of this to unfold over the next coming days on what grounds they're suing them on, but apparently there's some unpaid payments of up to $1 million that they want to claim. So there's going to be more details to follow, but it's just, you know, rugby was fighting with rugby league last year during the World Cup with Eddie and the CEO or the chairman.
Yeah, it's been a bit of rugby union versus rugby league over the last few months.
Now we've gone in-house. We've just gone...
Start punching on with each other.
Punching on, one out out the front.
Rugby union versus rugby union.
Yeah,
beautiful.
It is. Finger pointing. Who are we blaming here? Who can we fight? But no, but in all seriousness, hopefully we can get our game in order where we can just talk about the performances on field, because that's what's needed at the moment. The Super Rugby competition, it's not where it needs to be, but there's some young talent coming through, and if we can harness that right and get the structure and the foundations right, Wallabies will have success. So,
what's it called? A broken record? Is that the saying?
Oh, there's broken record. There's the definition of insanity.
Like a broken record. You've said this so many times.
I will go down swinging with anyone to fight for my game of rugby union. If you want a one out here at ABC, let's go. jokes. But That's rugby news.
Well, we're about to get to Sala Tonga Tuki to cover these upcoming NRL games this weekend. But before we head there, quickly, NRL predictions. Who do you think is going to win the comp? And
Who's got the wooden spoon?
Well, I read here, I've got here a premiership winner, the Smokey, and wooden spoon. So I put the Smokey and spoon together and we get Smoon.
Smoon. Oh, who's going to be the Smoon of the year?
Who you got, premiership winner?
Our premiership winner, Manly.
Manly Seagulls.
Yep.
Where did you get that from?
Smoon. I'm just going to go Brooks. That's why. I just feel like the halves pairing, if they can stay fit. And our man, Olokoatu, like if he's playing every game like that, Paseka.
Oh, he's watched one game here, Sammy.
you know, I've read off the Knights after round one. Manly round one, they're going to be winning the comp. But
I'm going to go for a Sydney Roosters versus New Zealand Warriors grand final. Running the back, the 2002 grand final, where the Roosters beat the Warriors, and I reckon that will be a repeat. Roosters taking the cup, beating the Warriors in the grand final.
All right, so there it's premiership predictions. What do we have next? Smokey.
What's a Smokey?
Can I change my premiership team?
Yeah.
I'll change them to my Smokey. That's my Smokey prediction.
So Manly Smokey.
To win the tournament, that's my Smokey.
So give us the...
My premiership prediction, like actual one.
No, what's a Smokey?
Oh, Smokey is just that... It's
unexpected.
Not unexpected. It's not a sure thing. It's like out the box and you probably get laughed at a lot, but that's my Smokey.
Manly to win.
Manly to win it.
I thought your reasons were pretty valid, but anyway.
It's valid for my Smokey, so it protects me a little bit if it doesn't come off. So, but my prediction will be, I'm actually with you. I feel like the Roosters are going to go.
You can't come on the Roosters bandwagon, mate. You
why?
Pick your own.
No, I'm sticking with you, T, because if you're wrong, I'm wrong. And I don't, that's how I'm going with that one.
All right. Well, my Smokey will be, because he got the captain, I'll go the Bulldogs as my Smokey.
Okay. That's a big Smokey. Long cigar, that one. We will. And then what? Wooden spoon?
Wooden spoon, yep.
Parramatta.
You know, I'll go I think the Dragons are going to beat Tigers, and Tigers are going to get wooden spoon now.
All right, there we have it. Perfect.
All right, now let's get to Sala to cover all the rugby league news.
The rugby league preview.
Now comes away to the right edge. Tonga Tuki!
With Sala Tonga Tuki.
Sala, before anything, I just want to say Happy International Women's Day.
Thank you, guys. When I was yesterday, I had a school I went to speak at, and yeah, they sort of reminded me it's National Women's Week, and today was going to be that day. So thanks. Appreciate it.
Well, what, Auntie? Where did you dig up that information from? It wasn't on the run sheet.
Well, I won't lie. I just received a text message from my mum saying, you make sure that you say Happy International Women's Day to all our ladies listening here on Knees and Footy. So well thank done. You, mum.
Oh, mum.
Thanks, T's mum.
Raised you right.
She made me look good then for at least 2 seconds.
Yes.
So, Salah, how was your week?
It's been pretty full on. So what I do with the West Tigers is away from playing. As I work in a community space, like I mentioned, and we had a carnival. We call it carnival footy. And that what that looked like for us was just going back to back with schools. We went out yesterday or the day before with our NRL boys. So the wider squad, it's normally their day off on a Wednesday. And the boys actually found time and, well, not found time, but sort of put time in to visiting all the schools that sit within our West Tigers catchment and region. And there were so many schools. I think a lot of us did 5 to 6 schools back to back, teaching some values into the young students. And hopefully that's something that can help change them and their learning in school and stuff like that. So I know they look up to a lot of players, and I found that it was best that kids engaged with the message when it came from the players they look up to. So that was something we wanted to aim for this whole week, which going to junior rugby league clubs, doing the same thing. It doesn't have to be in a classroom. It's anywhere and everywhere that we can sort of make a change and impact to community.
Oh, good.
So, yeah, my week's just been hectic on community involvement and also just my rehab and just, yeah, fixing some things with the renovations. But that's all going well.
Renos.
That's awesome. What,
right, renos.
What players were there yesterday at the school, and what values were you teaching the kids?
So we were just teaching them like little things like hydration, just like what do we need to do? So what do us players do so that we feel like we're at our best? And it was more like for me, I was just saying that, or well, not me, but like other players were saying, or good night's sleep, sets the tone for their morning routine, eating healthy, just making right decisions with food, and also being kind and encouraging your teammates, your classmates and that, and also just listening to your teachers. And for us, obviously, listening to our coaches is a big thing.
When you went out to those schools, were there many Pacifica kids out there as well that you got to connect with?
Interesting fact. I only had seen one, or if I could recognise one Pacifica kid in the crowd. When I was talking at that school, they their eyes were just lit up. Like it's like they've never seen a Polynesian player come out to their school. Just a little bit of background, like with our catchment. So with the West Tigers, we sit within the MacArthur, like Campbelltown, Camden, Group 6. So Group 6 is in the country, bit like me going towards Goulburn. And then we've got like Leichhardt, Balmain and that. So for where the schools I was allocated to was in the Group 6. So it was like a 2 hour and a bit of a drive. And I only had recognised one kid out in the country. You don't really find much of us islanders out there. But this kid's eyes, it lit up, like literally, like the moment we walked in, it was about me and 3 other players, and we walked in, and this kid's like he's achieved his dreams, everything, just looking at us, like we haven't even talked yet, and just smiling, and he was the first hand up with everything, like when like the floor was open to questions, and yeah, he was just asking like a lot of questions, and what do players have to do to be an NRL player? So,
oh, well done. That's beautiful. Yeah. Love that story about what you just said about that. I love that story.
Yeah, I just looked around and we all got smiles on our faces when you were explaining.
Literally.
We were picturing that kid sitting there watching, looking at you smiling. So,
we've all been there, right?
Like, yeah, exactly.
Let's look forward to
Shot Salah.
Let's look forward to this weekend. What games stand out for you this weekend?
I've got two in particular. And I'm really excited to see the Bulldogs, Eels, and the Warriors and Sharks.
Yes, two huge games.
I feel like them two always go really good head-to-head. They also got a lot of Polynesian players in both sides. And I'm interested to see how Junior Polo takes on, like, his pack, that middle pack.
Yep.
I know last year they were just, unfortunate to All the way, but I felt like the year before, like, they lived up to the expectation, and I think they can do it again this year. He's looking fit. You've got Stephen Crichton, obviously first time captaining a team, very young, but I think he's ready for the job. He's displayed enough in my eyes, and I know his teammates will trust him to lead them out. And like I said, he's just a big game player. He comes up with those clutch plays, and he's proven himself enough to be worthy of that role.
Yeah, I also think Will Pinicini will stand out in the centre there.
No, I was actually thinking that too. Like, I hope them two come up against each other. I reckon they will. I was looking at the team list, the lineup, and I'm like, he's been incredible to watch, hey, Will Pinicini.
Yep.
He's developed big. He's just so aggressive on an edge, and that's what you want. He makes the right decisions and defence plays and stuff like that. So he's also someone I'm really looking forward to watching. Also, Viliami Kikau. He last year didn't really get much games in, or didn't really get the right start for the Bulldogs, as he would have loved to. But I know he's looking like he's back at where he was before, prior to his injury, and yeah, he looks like he'll have a crack of a season. Awesome. He's always been good to watch. Yeah, just hits the friggin' mad lines.
Yeah,
speaking of Fijians, you've also got big Micah Sivo there on the wing. So,
oh my gosh, yes. How can we forget him?
Huge Nijan talent in that game. What about the Sharks and Warriors?
Sharks and Warriors. Sorry, I'm interested to see the fullback. Tane Taupiki.
Yep.
I think he's replacing Sean, so I'd like to see how he combines with the rest of the back line. Everyone knows that they're going to love looking forward to Roger Toivasa-Sheck. He looked pretty good in the preseason game. I'd like to see how he goes in a 80-minute game again for the Warriors. And Adam Fanua-Blake. Sorry, I sound really biased in the Warriors, but I went with that game only because last year they were just so impressive to watch and to literally prove, the competition itself, that they were able to make the top four. And I reckon they can make it again. I reckon they'll go another level this year.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how Adam plays because, you know, he's going to the Sharks next year. So he's going to be facing his future teammates. And I think on the Sharks' end, you know, going up against Royce Hunt there as well, you know, he'll want to sort of stand his ground and say, I know you're coming to my team, but this is also my pack. So there'll be a nice little battle there.
Yeah, Royce Hunt, he's actually, he's been doing a lot of running. I didn't even recognize him in some, their preseason games because, like, just how much he's, like, literally lost and just toned up heaps. And he carved the preseason game up for the Sharks. But also, Oregon Kofusi. I know he's a young player as well. And last year, he was coming off the bench for Sharks a fair bit, or sometimes he wouldn't make the 18. But to see him have that starting jersey, you can only imagine the hard work he's put in the off season. And he's looking like he's taking great ownership of that starting jersey. So
I know Oregon was a huge loss for the Eels last year, and
massive. Yeah.
You know, he left a big space there, but Royce Hunt absolutely killed the All-Stars game for the New Zealand Maldives. I thought, I know, Sammy, you spoke about his head up off the back fence.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
And then you've also got Ronald Mulitalo there, who usually does some damage for the Sharks in the outside back. So
he's so hard to handle. Like, he's just that, I don't know, he's like that Superman-like player that you just want to make sure you're on your feet for. He's so fast. He's, like, so athletic. Always making those efforts, the little efforts in that.
Well, there's some huge talent, Nijan talent in both games. Before we head over to your premiership predictions and Wooden Spoon, can you tell us a bit about the Queensland women's competition that's about to start this week?
Well, I've always heard that it's more better than the New South Wales Avenue Women's competition. And I was being curious, but I had a teammate, Olivia Koenig, who actually went over there and played last year. And she was saying that it's actually intense. So I was like, oh, rightio. So our footy is being put on hold, like most people would know right now, and for the New South Wales players. And so some of our girls got a teammate who's gone over. She's young and excited for her late to form. So she's gone over to Western Clydesdale women's team. And
that's being played. She's going to play with the likes of Kezzy Apps, Ali Regenshaw, Stephanie Hancock, Shanae Shazolka, and I think for her for her own development, she'll get a lot out of it from those experienced players around her. Apparently, that team's the team to watch out for. They're stacked. But one team that's stacked with a lot of Polynesian players would be the Burleigh Bears, where Zahara Tomorrow. So she's with the Canberra Raiders, and she's been dominating that halfback role. And she actually took Burleigh Bears to a grand final last year, and they won a premiership. So they're definitely contenders to look out for. There is a bit of new teams, not really quite familiar. They're like the Sunshine Coast. They've put in a team for the first time. I know a lot of the girls that live in a GC have had to travel to teams down in Brisbane just to play in that competition. So it's nice to see the Sunshine Coast and that have a team in there. And, we've got a fair few of our New South Wales girls going down there, which they're mainly from the Roosters, but because of their connection with Taryn Aiken. So I think they're live streaming as well, the BND competition, on the Queensland Rugby League page. So I normally tune in and watch a fair bit. So they kick off this Saturday. And
beautiful. There's some huge talent right across the women's competition in Queensland this weekend. We'll be going for the Mackay Cutters because Shelley Long on our Knees and Footy show.
Shelley Long and about 12 other Cowboys. Like they are, if there's a point system up there, like they have definitely over the points because I saw their team list. It was about 14 of them and everyone else got one, two or three players. It's like if they don't win the competition, there's obviously something wrong.
Let's start with your premiership prediction. Who do you think will win the NRL premiership this year?
I went with the Roosters.
Oh, that's
that
all,
takes three.
That's all three of us.
We've all taken
oh,
the
really?
Roosters. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So you don't even need to explain why because we've already shared why.
Yeah.
And what about your Smokey? So the one who you can just say, and if they get it right, then you're the man.
Oh, my God.
But if you don't, then it's okay.
I don't know. For some reason, I just kept saying Cowboys in my head.
But that's a good one.
I thought Cowboys. I was going to say Cowboys, but I thought Cowboys would.
No, stop lying.
The only reason why, because they deserve more than a Smokey.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, but that's a good one. That's I like that prediction.
And wooden spoon.
Okay, look, I sat there with my family and as we were watching and I was just asking, I was like, hey, who reckons any opinions, like, right? Because I missed out a lot of the footy when I just got home. And my family was just being sad to me saying West Tigers. I was like, what?
Are you sure you want to go to Tigers wooden spoon?
No. Oh, excuse
she didn't
guys.
Lock it in. She didn't
just
lock
correct
it in.
I might actually put my the West Tigers as a Smokey.
Oh, as a Smokey, okay.
Yeah. But, like, I'm not going to put them wooden spoon, only because I've got belief and faith in the staff and the team that they have. I know, like, obviously the result didn't go our way for the second preseason, but that's what preseasons are there for, to help rectify some of those little things that they've been trying to work on to perfect it for when the season does start. And they do have a bye this weekend. I've spoken to some of the players in and around the team and they've been saying that if only, like, they were actually kicking off, like, with an actual game, only because, like, they just feel like they're sort of getting that disadvantage playing round two, match fitness and whoever they're going to be playing.
Did you still
against.
Get 2 points for the bye? Did you get a win for the bye?
They get 1 point?
Oh, mate, they're going to be on top of the table. So who's coming last then?
I'm just going to go with the Bulldogs.
Shot critter.
sorry, critter.
Skipper. we're just here at the end of the day, just predictions.
That's it for this upcoming games in the NRL. Thank you, Sala.
Thanks,
we appreciate
legend.
You for coming
legend.
On.
Legend.
And we will see you next Friday.
Shot,
right,
Sala.
Boys. Have a good one.
Awesome. Appreciate
Laters.
It. Later.
Recipe of the week.
I'm up this week for our recipe, and I went with ikamata.
Ikamata.
Do you know what ikamata is?
I'm thinking ika being fish.
Yes.
And mata is face. So it's the... Head of fish head. Oh,
the ikamata is our name for raw fish.
Okay,
but
nice.
But the coconut cream. So the ingredients, fresh fish. Now, in the Cook Islands, we like the mahi-mahi or tuna. Also, you could use some snapper, some grouper or sea bass. I like the snapper.
What's sea bass?
It's a type of fish. Some lime juice, coconut cream, onions, so chopped onions, tomato, cucumber, and some green chilies if you like a bit of spice.
Yeah.
Some salt and black pepper as well. So you cut the fish, raw fish, into bite-sized pieces. Actually, I wish we had some background music in this, hey?
It's actually not a bad shout. Maybe we get onto that. Just as you're speaking about it, you can take me there.
Cut the fish into bite-sized cubes and marinate into lime juice for 10 to 15 minutes. Now, combine coconut cream in a separate bowl with chopped onions, diced tomatoes, chopped cucumbers, and add your green chilies. Now, mix the coconut mixture with the marinated fish. Cover and refrigerate for at least 30 minutes. Taste and adjust seasoning if needed. Then garnish with, you know, your
Stay in character. Stay with that voice. Don't okay. deviate from that voice. It's I'm feeling it.
Well, it is best served with white Ooh. Rice or some donuts. Cook Island donuts. Yes.
Okay.
Cook Island donuts. Imagine ripping that Cook Island donut into a quarter-sized piece.
Take me there, brother.
And dipping that sweet Cook Island donut into the coconut cream.
Mm.
Grab with your fingers some of that tuna or mahi-mahi, the texture that blend in your, it adds extra flavor when you eat it with your hands.
Especially when you don't wash your hands. Yeah.
And just straight in the mouth, chew it up, and there you have it. Ikamata.
Oh, T, tell me you've got some in your water bottle. To pour
you
out
what?
For us.
You know what, mate?
You know what?
You'd never believe it. You didn't want to bring me some apple otai last week, so I ain't bringing you any ikamata.
Hey, well done. That you took me there with that. Oh, that voiceover.
Yeah,
I made it once. Dedication styles.
Made it once in the UK. It was a hit. I liked it. I enjoyed it. But it does take me back to my childhood memories. You know, in the Cook Islands, when you go to any event or functions, they always have the bowl of ikamata or raw fish, and you go straight for that first into a cup, and then you start making your plate of food after you've gone and got your serving of ikamata, because usually it's the first thing to go.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Kefu! Totai Kefu!
With Totai Kefu.
Yes, the big man Totai Kefu, an icon of Australian and Pacifica Rugby Union, a Tongan Australian who played for the Wallabies, the Reds, played in Japan, took all the yen over there, coached the Ikaletahi for 7 years. The man, the legend, Totai Kefu. Welcome to the show, brother. How is that yen going? Weighing your back down.
Well, I've taken the yen, but my kids have all depleted the yen, Sam.
Any extra yen for our mates down in Melbourne?
No. No, none for them whatsoever. But, geez, it couldn't come at a worse time. Hey, like we've got two big events coming up next year with the Lions, and 4 years down the track, we got the World Cup. Like really good launching pads to kind of propel the game to where it should be. And you know, if this has fallen in our laps, it's a sorry state of affairs.
Yeah, every week we're I guess uncovering something new down in Melbourne, and it was believed that. They made that claim on Super Round as well. The Friday of Super Round, they made that claim of suing Rugby Australia. So with all the teams being down there, with all the officials, what timing to have that? Oh, man.
Well, I mean, if they wanted to make a statement and to raise awareness, what better time than do it during Super Round? I don't know. If they're successful, It could drive the game further backwards.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, there's no money. Yeah, there's not much money. So if they are successful, as Kev said, where does that leave the broader game? Like, How like, Kev, seriously, in your opinion, like, how does the game survive here in Australia at the moment? If you had the crystal ball, where does it need to get to?
Yeah, look, the people who are running the game after that golden era that we had, and I was bloody fortunate to be a part of, they did a poor job. You know, we left the game in a really good state, and the people running the game should have had the game there for many, many years to come. Now, I mean, we're never going to beat rugby league or AFL, but there is a place for us in this country. You know, in the sporting landscape, there is a place. There's a you know, at grassroots and at club level, at school level, the game's actually going really well. It's just that next professional level, at super and international level, that we're struggling. But like I said earlier, we've got two big events, massive events. We've got the Lions next year, we've got the World Cup in 3 years' time. Now, they're big opportunities for us to really execute and propel this game forward to where it should be. And then hopefully from there on in, we can hold the game up in to a level where it's supposed to be. We need to start winning first and foremost. That's the number one thing. And then we need to get all that stuff off the field running properly.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, those wins on and off the field need to come like now, as you said, so we can get our game in the right place moving forward. But let's take it to the field now. Let's look at Drua Emwana from last week. Like, what an epic game of footy. Everything was in it. Like, what were your thoughts on how that game unfolded?
Well, I was going for Moana, and I kind of predicted it'd be a little win, so we got there. But what a game, like you said, unbelievable. I was on the edge of my seat. That last, so Drua had a chance to win it at the end. They made that line break, and unfortunately they dropped the ball, but the game was there to be won, and it was, that Saturday was unbelievable, because that Waratahs Crusaders game was an epic game as well. And you could see, I think in terms of attendance, it must have been Saturday the biggest attendance out of the 3 days. But you could see the passion, the intensity, and the crowd was getting right behind it. What a game. Absolutely unbelievable.
What's your thoughts on right at the end, Isaiah Ravula? He takes that quick tap, you know, 40 metres on the sideline. Do you take the line? You had Kimmel Valentini. He's a long-range goal kicker, but the young 19-year-old rolls the dice and takes a quick tap. What were your initial thoughts when he did that?
Well, as a coach, you pull your hair out, but we are watching the Drua, so you kind of expect that. Did you see that winger that scored the last try, Junior Ratuva?
Yeah, from rugby league.
Yeah. So he come up through the Warriors system.
Yep.
Did you see him when he scored that last try? They made a line break through the middle, and he just come idling up next to the ball carrier, cops a little pop ball, and then just jogs it in. Like, he was running. He looks like he was jogging against everyone sprinting.
he looks like he's about 7 foot tall on the wing. Like, he looks like a big man, just that natural, athletic, gifted
league player.
League, no. He originally came from Union Sevens and then went to league.
Watch out for him. Like, he's going to be an absolute star in rugby. I couldn't believe the size of him. It's like a production line, this Drua team. You know, one goes out, another one comes in, and they're absolute stars.
What other Nijin players stood out for you in that game?
Oh, look, I thought that Kanakei Vata, the two-try scorer, the flanker, I thought he was awesome. You look at the team sheets this week, he's on the bench, so another guy gets in front of him. I thought for Moana, geez, they were great. Viliami Fine on the left wing, he got some early touches and made some big inroads during the game. I thought Lotu Inisi, another strong game at number eight. Sione Talituli, so he took over the captaincy. I thought he was awesome. His battle with Kanakei Vata was awesome. Julian Surveyor, he's playing some good footy, eh?
Yeah, he's at 12. I feel like he has found his position in the midfield. He's sort of like becoming that, I don't know what his kicking game's like, but hopefully becomes that triple threat like we saw Matanonu, you know. But his passing, his distribution, his work rate off the ball, I feel like it's our centre. It's probably a big part of why Moana Pacifica's attack is flowing well.
Yeah, totally agree. I thought he was outstanding. And you mentioned that his catch and pass, we never seen that before because he's always been on the wing. But I thought his catch and pass was outstanding.
I just want to go to your Queensland Reds. Like, I know they didn't win last week, but in your eyes, what are you loving at the moment that they're doing pretty well that's allowing them to stay in that fight and compete?
Initially, their scrum was struggling. And then they stayed in the game with their maul, I thought. They mauled strongly. I actually thought Hurricanes had it over them the first 20 minutes, winning collisions, strongest scrum. But we just found a way to hang in there, scored two tries through the rolling maul, like I said. I think the biggest difference from last year with the Reds is their recycling of the ball. Their ball is so much quicker and cleaner than the last couple of years. And that's been able to launch some of the some of our attack in the back line. Now, this week, important game against the Chiefs. Chiefs are top of the ladder. And we're missing some players. I think Paisami is out.
Yep.
Jordan Patoa is out
as well. Yep.
We've got our backs to the wall, but we're at home. We had a good performance last week. I thought we could do something this week, maybe.
Let's go to the big game this week. The Drua and the Crusaders in Lautoka. First home game for the Fijians this year. You wouldn't think that both teams would be 0-3, or especially not the Crusaders.
Oh, mate, that, I don't know if you've been to Lautoka, but it is an unbelievable ground. And they've got these trees around the at the end, both ends of the ground behind the goalpost, full of Fijians. It'll be packed. The whole the hill on the other side will be packed. It's a little kind of coliseum, and the Fijians. Look, I don't think I backed Drua to win every game at home this year. I think at home they are. It's 10 points. Into the wind, you know. I just think they're going to be unstoppable once that crowd gets behind them, and it's just going to be they'll be hard to stop. Unfortunately, I think Crusaders, they're going to have to try and find a strategy to try and stem those points of momentum, slow the game down, maybe a few fake injuries.
Don't know. Well, yeah, of course they lost this game last year. And that was the reason they fell into that trap of, you know, trying to play their up-tempo speed in that humidity, in that weather. And it just, yeah, they faded away towards the end. But you talk about the trees around the ground. They're the best seats in the house for some of the for the fans up there. And hopefully the tree doesn't break this year.
That happened in Tonga once. Tree broke 2 years ago. There was about 15 people on the side of this mango tree, and it snapped off.
Yeah, speaking of Tonga, you know, I know we spoke about the Australian Rugby Union earlier, but it's reported the Wallabies are $2.6 million over budget for their World Cup campaign. Now, I just wanted to get an understanding on what the budget looked like for the Tongan team in that World Cup campaign.
Well, we actually went over budget as well.
Oh, no way.
We did.
2.6 mil?
Not definitely nowhere near. That's our whole budget for the last 5 years, I think. we went over a bit. I think, look, we struggle. Our budget's tiny. The programs run on the, you know, the fumes of a oily rag. Most of the players have to put in for their flights. And extra things like extra meals and stuff like that, even having snacks at training, they're paid for by if the union can't afford it, they're paid for by players, coaches, you know, players with the big contracts. People like Ben Tamafuna, the union must owe him, it'd be easily over 20, 30 grand. Steve Murphy, who's been part of the program ever since I was there, he's always put out money for, excess luggage. He's been paying for boys' food, snacks, stuff like that. So I think that's what makes the Kali Tahi really special is people helping each other. You know, I found out a long time ago when I joined the Kali Tahi, if you stress about things you haven't got, you really drive yourself into a bad mental space, you know. So I had a change of mentality after my first year and just thinking positively, thinking about what we got, thinking about things that, you know, being more savvy around saving money, being more creative around our program, you know, and always thinking about things that we have got.
Kev, do you feel like there's room for yourself on that coaching staff with the Wallabies, with all your knowledge, all your experience? It's been announced that as well, that Laurie Fisher is going to head in there as well. But for someone like yourself, would you love to be in that coaching environment?
I'd love to. And you know, there's no doubt I think I'm ready for it. I applied for the Reds role last year and I made the last three. And that's my dream job. That's my passion. I'd love to coach the Reds. And hopefully, fingers crossed, maybe down the line, maybe it just wasn't my time yet. So, but look, to help the Wallabies at some point in the future, would love that as well.
Yeah, well said. Would love to see you back in that space and getting rugby union to its rightful place. Kev, final predictions for this weekend. Who's your tip of the round?
Oh, look, the main game of the round, Hurricanes Blues. I'm actually going to back the Hurricanes at home, and I think Drew will beat the Crusaders. Moana Pacifica and Rebels, boys. I think Moana Pacifica will win that game.
Back-to-back games. You reckon they're getting up?
Yes.
In Auckland?
Yes.
Over there? Okay.
Hey, there's the last game, the Panina team, the women's Moana Pacifica. They play a last trial tomorrow against the Waratahs down at Bond. They're going bloody unbelievable. Eddie Aholele's done a really good job. So hopefully they can have a win on their last game, and hopefully in the future, because I don't think they're in the Super Rugby comp yet, but hopefully in the future they might be able to get a Guernsey.
Yeah, there's definitely a place for the Panina girls to be in there. We had a couple of the girls on last week and they spoke so highly of the program and what it's doing for, you know, other younger women coming through to aspire to play at the highest level. So I'm with you on that one, Kev. Thanks so much for your time, brother, and we will chat to you again next week.
Always a pleasure, boys.
Shh. Quiet, boys and girls. It's Professor Paulo.
I always giggle. I can't take him serious. The professor, the prof. Every Friday we get our man Sefa Paulo to give us a question.
1-0 to you, Sammy.
It is.
And today is a who am I? So
who am I?
Professor Sefa, Professor Paulo, he will be giving us clues, and the first to buzz in, which you will say Sammy, and
Sammy.
I will
okay,
say Tinidol. If I get it wrong, then you can have the rest of the clues to figure out your answer. So let's go, Professor Paulo.
Who am I? I was born on the 6th of December, 1979. I am deeply rooted into my Samoan culture and even made my international debut for Samoa before I made my club debut. I made my club debut in England, where I had spent most of my time and represented many clubs around the world for 20 years. When I chose to play for Australia, I became one of the best ever to represent the gold jersey. I don't play rugby league and I don't play rugby union. Who am I?
Huh?
What?
What? I don't play rugby league or rugby union.
Oh, what is this? Okay, let me have a think.
1979. And what sport does he play?
1979?
If it's not legal,
I'm going to go Tinidol. Tim Cahill.
The greatest Socceroo and leading goal scorer ever. His name is Tim Cahill.
Let's go. Yes. Yeah.
He sent you the answer.
No, he didn't.
He sent you the answer.
What? Oh, no, I promise you he didn't.
No, well done, T. Well done. I was stumped. I was like, I just got to get out of my head thinking it has to be legal union.
Well, he said it's not a league player or union. I know union
he
player,
said so that, but I'm saying when I come into these questions, I'm prepping myself to think it's legal union.
I automatically went to a different sport, and then I thought, okay, 10 years
UK.
Older than me, UK, but it's got to be the great Timmy Cahill.
Let's get ready.
Knockout tipping time.
Yes, Sammy, our knockout tipping comp is up and running. We do it a bit different here on Knees and Footy. You can still only pick one team each week, but you don't get knocked out. Instead, you get a point if your tipper is right. And you can't.
Oh, so we've changed the rules. Perfect.
Yeah, because you got the first round wrong.
And then
otherwise I would have just been playing by myself. So we had to change the rules.
Still talking about tipping comp, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, cool.
So a knockout tipping comp. Rugby league.
Yes.
Wait, hold on. The scores are 2-1.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm on 2, you're on 1. Last week I got the union right.
I got the league right. Wrong. I got the league right, eh? Manly. That's
and
what
you
I chose.
Got the union wrong. So let's try and get our own sports right this week.
Yep.
And
yeah. Sure thing.
You're up first. League.
Oh, league. I'm going to go match of the round. Big one. You can't go past this. Everyone better be watching this game.
Oh, Warriors and Sharks this week?
Come on, mate. That's not the match of the round.
Panthers Storm.
No. Are you serious?
Parramatta Doggies, the local derby.
Mate, you never.
It's not one of those three.
It's not one of. How could you go past this game? It's obviously the Titans and the Dragons.
Oh, the Titans and Dragons.
in the premier time slot of Saturday. At I don't know what time, but we're going to go to the Titans.
You're going the Titans.
We're on the Titans and the match of the round to beat
Why
the
Titans?
I just think Desi's doing some great things up there.
Is Desi the coach?
Yeah, Desi Hasler. He's up at the Titans.
Is he?
He's left Manly.
Oh, try
on shaky grounds. No, and then obviously they're hissing on all cylinders.
Speaking of that, Isaac Liu, 250th NRL game this weekend.
Former Rooster.
Yes. Congratulations, Isaac. Man, he's
so
the man.
Of course
the
they're going to win on his.
They're all going to step up.
Yeah, for his 250th. That's a great milestone. Well done. So that's my pick for rugby league.
I'll stick to rugby league, and I will go with the Eels to beat the Bulldogs. I spent some time in the Eels camp last week, and they are humming. Off to the Union.
Union?
Have you got one a Union one,
nah,
right?
I haven't picked anything. I haven't picked anything.
So you've gone with...
I'll go with the Chiefs over the Reds because...
Wow.
Hunter Paisami, the one that we've been talking about, the Samoan enforcer in the midfield, he's not playing, as well as Jordy Pataia, another Samoan. So with those two being out, I think the Chiefs get the job done.
I am going with my home city, the Highlanders, to beat the Tars. I just think...
They have a good track record against the Tars.
They lost last week, the Tars. Do they go back to back? I'm not too sure. But the Landers, you know, your favourite coach, won't want them losing.
Jamie Joseph will have them humming. Well, there are our predictions for next week. Hopefully, we get everything right and we come back here and just have a good laugh and pat ourselves on the back that we know what we're talking about. But that's us for another week of Knees and Footy Fridays. Thanks so much to Sulla, as always, and Totai, because their expertise are outstanding. And remember, you can listen back to our Monday and Friday shows. Just search for Knees and Footy wherever you get your podcasts.
Ka kite.